This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. You are listening to 107.7 FM and you can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. And we'd love for you to give us a call at any time as well. It's 866-823-1077. A little bit of a rainy Tuesday.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I get everybody's saying
you're a garden girl.
We need it. Well, I water my plants every day, so.
But still, the grass needs it.
Yes, it does.
We need the water. We need way more than we're going to get today, unfortunately. But it's a start.
Yeah.
And it's the middle of the week, so it's not ruining anybody's wedding.
True.
You know, if you had a picnic today, well, then, you know, bring your.
Good analogy, Mike. I never kind of thought of it like that.
Oh, well, as the DJ of 700 weddings over the years, I always heard people swearing at the weather sometimes. So I kind of like the weather. It's nice.
And you're a weather geek.
Well, I am a weather geek. True.
It goes hand in hand.
And I try. I have to hold myself back sometimes before jumping into any weather explanations. But if you give me a crack in the door, you'll be sorry. Put my foot in and stomp right on through. But happy to report the new parking strategy that you have.
Did it work?
That you have secretly passed along to me is working so far.
Mm-hmm. It will. You'll see.
Yeah, you got me parked in a spot where I think I should be safe. But just in case, I do need to be back to my car by 1:57.
You're gonna be fine.
I don't have too much of a window there.
You know what we should probably do? Because there's probably one day, I bet, out of the week that they go there. And we need to find out that day.
That could be.
Well, you know what? I will let you know because my car sits there most of the day.
Yeah.
So, but I haven't yet where it is. I have not yet. So.
And you typically confessed to me last week that you get parking tickets several days a week, or at least you did.
I haven't been lately. Mm-hmm. Ask Amanda is the one. I'm going to knock on wood right now. Amanda is the one that it's so funny because I come in. I mean, here I am, the owner of the company, and I come in and I'm like this with my hands
kind
over
of
my eyes
in.
And, and I just kind of slip the tickets on her desk when she's not looking.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I forgot to do that. No, I don't expect you to pay my tickets. If I'm breaking the law,
then I
should pay for it. But it's up to you as my provider of employment to help me find a place where I'm less vulnerable.
So, yes, so there, I did that.
Never had a job where I've had to park on the street every day, and it's fine. It's very convenient.
It is.
The parking in this town is good, but I do need to talk to the mayor a little bit about that Thursday when he's here.
Yeah, I mean,
on behalf of all people that park downtown.
Yes, and like Taco Tour. Why couldn't they have stopped it that night?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like almost slapping people for coming down to a community
event.
But
you know what? If they haven't changed it by now, they never will.
It's crazy.
It's going to stay like that with cars going up and down the street. So for breakfast this morning, Barbara made a smoothie. Now, she's into much healthier eating than I am generally. And I swear, all smoothies kind of taste the same because you just end up putting random stuff in. I don't think I've ever met a person who's followed a recipe for making a smoothie. You just go in the fridge and pull out stuff. Berries. Today, in the smoothie, beets, what else? Frozen cherries, kale, and a couple other things. And I think there was probably banana because every time, every smoothie has a banana taste to it. It was good. The only difference from smoothie to me is the color. Typically, they all pretty much taste the same.
Now she adds ice.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe she does, but it's mostly frozen stuff out of the fridge.
Yeah,
so you don't need to add a whole lot.
Okay, right. So maybe not even ice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's what I do too.
Sure.
And I don't add ice. But yeah.
It's good. You do. I mean, I've been watching you drink this some kind of a shake.
It's just a protein shake.
Yeah, it looks delicious for some reason. The color is perfect.
Well, remember I told you when I was having the shake the first week, the first couple of days,
it sucked,
white.
Right?
It sucked. to say it bluntly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember I was doing the Greek non-fat yogurt, just plain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was gross. So I'm doing now, it's actually the same calories, but this one's caramel macchiato
yogurt.
So it makes it so much better. And it's all the same calories, so.
How many calories? Because that's about, a 14, 16-ounce drink?
Well, I put my 8 ounces of water, I put my scoop of protein, and a cup of the 80 calorie. It's 80 calories.
Looks pretty darn good. I gotta tell you.
It's actually very good. And this morning, I remember yesterday I was having an issue with my eggs.
Oh, well, for those that missed it, you don't want to eat
egg
whites every stinking day. Now, see, I could probably do that because I like eggs. Well, how were you preparing them? Were you scrambling them? Or
you know what? One day I'd scramble
them. Drink them out of a cup?
No, one day I'd scramble them, and then one day I'd make them into an omelet, you know, with my veggies in the omelet with the cheese. Mm-hmm. You know, I just kind of vary it up a little bit. How much can you vary that up?
Yeah,
really?
I guess. We figured it was 3 dozen eggs a week, and that's a little – I mean, an egg is such a great food. But to have 3 dozen jammed down your throat every week is going to make you not want to eat eggs.
And it did after just even 4 days for me. So today I did what he had suggested. I really need to get – I just haven't had time to, like, go through his whole website because I know that IntegrityFit.com definitely has different recipes to fool around with and, to exchange. But today I did 3 ounces of chicken mixed with my veggies with 1 ounce of cheese, and it was delicious. It was a nice change. I was like, oh, that
so the key
good.
Is changing it up, but making sure that the nutrition and the calories are basically
equal.
Stay the same.
Yes.
Right.
Protein to protein.
So 36 eggs now becomes maybe a dozen eggs and some chicken or some other protein.
Probably not even a dozen.
Not even that much,
I don't even think so. Maybe once or twice. Mm. You know, that would be a good meal, like on the weekend when Daryl and I are home and we can go to breakfast. And I can I easily order an egg white omelet at, you know, most places with my veggies and, and a slice of cheese. And, you know, and that's good. That's something easy to order out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I'd probably have that like on a weekend.
Good and tasty and good for you.
But today was my Doors Pond walking day.
Oh, did you get out before the rain?
Well, I got up at 6, but you know, I have my little routine. I like to put the wash in and this and that and make sure this is all set and before I go out the door, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was about 7:15 when I left and it was raining. And you know, the old me would have been like, oh my gosh, it's raining. I am not going walking because it's raining. Mm-hmm. But it was really just drizzling. And Doors Pond is pretty covered with trees and stuff. So I went. But you know what, Mike? You know, I went. I was the only one there.
Had it to yourself, huh?
Well.
Which is good and bad.
I was a little scared.
Well, yeah.
My first mile around. And, of course, I'm timing myself. And I didn't take Molly because of the rain, and she would have gotten filthy. So I didn't take Molly. And, you know, I started my time, and I needed to beat 17 minutes, 24 seconds for a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And I started, and but like I said, I mean, I'm going through the woods, and I mean, it's light out, you know, it's not dark or anything, but it was a little scary.
Yeah,
I didn't like walking, even though
all areas aren't as safe as others. I think Doors Pond is fine, but
I do, too.
No matter where you are,
I wouldn't have done it.
There could be a danger for a single person, not only a woman, but a man as well.
Yes.
So,
As I was coming up on like
a walking
three-quarter mile, it's funny because it was a slight hill. I mean, there's not hills at Doors Pond, really, but a slight hill. And I saw like a man coming and I'm like, and my heart went, but he had like a dog with him. He's like, hey, good morning. I'm like, oh, good morning. I'm like, oh, someone else is here. Okay, good.
All set.
So, but I think that because I was scared, I definitely beat my record. I did 17.9. But I'm starting also to jog a little, which is so cool. You know, just a little, not much. I mean, I'm starting.
You're stretching a little bit.
I stretch before, stretch after.
Good.
Yeah, I do all that stuff.
Don't want to get those shin splints from jogging, which if you're not ready for it, I don't know if you've ever been a jogger.
Never.
But that's the one thing that you do want to be careful for is shin splints. Where you start going the front of your legs, your lower leg, it really hurts like heck.
Yeah.
So you just do your point your toes out for a couple minutes.
Flex them,
and that should help you out.
Yep. So I then I said, and then it did start to kind of come down a little bit harder, and I'm like, nope, I'm getting my second mile, and I mean, if I'm wet now, I'm just getting it in.
So got my shower for the day.
Did the second mile. So right now I'm at 8,442 steps.
Wow. So you're already at the you shoot for what, about 11,000 a day?
Oh, today I'll probably hit 14.
Yeah.
Easily.
Good for you.
Yeah. So that's good.
Now, do you prefer to shower before or after you take your morning walk?
Oh gosh, after.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get up and I literally get out of bed, brush my teeth, and throw my gym clothes on.
Oh.
And then go. And then come home. strip, take my shower.
There you go. Well, a day in the life of Carol Lawrence.
Read the paper, fold the clothes, because by that point, the clothes are in the dryer, and then fold the clothes, my whole routine.
You didn't say the part where you shave. You didn't put that workout part
no,
in.
No.
So just a quick little comment on Facebook here. John Clayton, Manchester Historical Association, will be joining us in a few moments.
Fun, fun.
And Amy Newmark, who is the publisher, which means that she owns Chicken Soup for the Soul books, will be joining us by phone from Connecticut, where her headquarters are. At 1 o'clock, your dad is by, and also Julie Barron from Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Very good.
Lots of visitors.
Show.
So I was just going through some messages on my phone, and I hit a little button, and it brought me back like a year and a half and a bunch of private messages on Facebook that I never saw.
Oh.
That I from January and February of 2013.
Oh, geez.
There is a bunch of messages. I have no idea how I even got there. But there they were, unread, and two of them were from people 30 and 40 years ago in my life.
Really?
Who must think, wow, what a rude guy he is. He never responded.
Yeah, what a creepball, not even answering me back.
No kidding. So one was this woman who used to listen to me at a station I worked at in Detroit when I just started. And so I wrote back, said, hey, sorry, you know, it's taken me 2 years to get back to you. So we're now friends on Facebook. And another was somebody who I worked briefly with in radio when I first came to Boston in 1984, who is now doing comedy on the West Coast, or was, with Second City, which is, you know, a big comedy troupe. So I've connected with her, and I said, again, I'm so sorry. I don't know how I'm, and a bunch of other ones too that didn't matter as much to me.
So it doesn't bing up onto your.
No, I don't like all the binging and donging and all that stuff. I don't have those things for text. That's the only bing I want to hear, because I realize it probably means it needs my immediate attention, or that you're sending me pictures of your cucumber hors d'oeuvres.
Or me walking, or me walking at the gym.
That's
or,
right.
Well, no, I don't text that to you.
No.
That goes on Facebook, sorry.
So anyway, make sure you check your old messages, because there's a place where there's a bunch of them that you maybe never saw.
Yeah.
And there could be people from way back that you want to connect with. Right. Or as this one woman called it, ghosts. They call them ghosts on Facebook.
Oh, jeez. You know, Facebook really is amazing for that.
It is connecting
with people.
Yeah, but it's such a time sucker. I'm telling you.
Well, it can be.
I mean, I don't. Yeah, it's totally not Facebook's fault. It's our fault for.
Yeah, there are some people that sit there and they're like, "Oh, I'm going to the grocery store." Like,
right.
Who the heck cares that you're going to the grocery store?
Well, it's a food show, so I care. Let's
talk
about
Okay, going to the paint store. Or I'm feeling down today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so what? Anyway, okay, let's get to the holiday, and then we're going to go on break, and then John Clayton's going to come on. Today's holiday is National Devil's Food Cake Day.
Oh, and that's good, because that is going to be the Comedy Cuts theme for Friday.
Very.
Cake.
Oh, I'm going to miss it.
You are.
Oh, I like comedy cold cuts. I think that's really fun.
So I've already got them all set up, and I think I've got four cuts this week. Because there's a lot of comedy about cake online, and I'm busy looking for, because the following Friday we're going to be at the State House on the lawn doing a promotion
propane.
On behalf of propane safety. So I am very feverishly combing the internet for comedy on barbecuing and grilling,
which
probably involved explosions and stuff like that. Not exactly what the people want that are sponsoring it, but they'll live with it.
Well, the other food holiday is Tomato Week. It's actually British Tomato Week. And I do have some tomato trivia, but we're going to go on break. And maybe at some point during the show, if we get to it. If not, we'll do some tomato trivia at some point. So
okay, something to look forward to, because
so
John Clayton is in the green room.
Yes, he is in the green room.
Preening himself and making sure he looks pretty for radio.
All right, you're listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street. Oh, and I also want to remind people, you know, the Beacon Building here is a gorgeous building, and there is office space available. So if anybody's interested, you can call 645-1000, and office space is available
here.
So there you go.
How much a square foot, just in case?
Oh, I don't know.
In case Barb throws me out.
They can call 645-1000, okay. Talk to my brother, and he will have all that info
all
for you.
Good to
so,
know.
Food for Thought. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. John Clayton's in the house.
Woohoo! Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike on this kind of bleary Tuesday. And a little chilly, a little on the chillier side, but Nevertheless, we're here, and you're listening to WTPL FM. You can stream us live on WTPLFM.com, and it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And without any further ado, let's welcome on John Clayton, the executive director of the Historic Association, in your third week of your brand new job.
And they said it wouldn't last. Yeah.
And he's never in the office. He's out doing radio and TV and speaking.
Yeah, that's part of what they wanted from me is to have that be the face of the place, that kind of public engagement. Because, you know, we've been kind of a staid, kind of laid-back organization. And that's not what they want it to be. I mean, there's so much dynamic history in the city that they wanted. They hired me. Someone said, it is a museum. They hired a dinosaur. Go figure. But they wanted somebody to, you know, who really embraces the history of the city anyway, to go out and be a more public face of the place. During the search, they said, we have the people with the curatorial skills who know how to accept, you know, artifacts from history and how to process and develop the provenance of the organization or the item, but we don't have that face. We don't have you. And so it's kind of nice to be recognized for who you are as much as what you do. I always said when I wrote my column in the Union Leader all those years that this isn't what I do. This is who I am. And you have to invest yourself in that way when you're writing a column, because people know if you're mailing it in. And I never wanted to mail it in. And so this job ultimately is a culmination of everything that's fascinated me in my life, much of which is this city, my hometown of Manchester.
Isn't it fun reinventing yourself at this point in life? A little scary, but really more fun than anything else.
It was scary. I had a very nice job with the New Hampshire Hospital Association in Concord. And, you know, I had an epiphany over the winter. I lost my father-in-law. I wrote his obituary. I wrote his eulogy and delivered it. And in the month around that, I was at a couple of big events, and not one person didn't come up to me and say, we miss you in Manchester. You know, we miss your writing. We know you don't have the column anymore, but, you know, we just miss you being here. And I felt the same way. So I boldly suggested to my wife, Colleen, would you mind if I quit my job? And she said, absolutely not. Quit. So I quit with nothing. I didn't have anything lined up except for the notion in my mind that I wanted to come back to Manchester and fulfill my passion. My coworkers supported me 100%. They said, you're going to pursue your bliss. How can we have an issue with that? So go. And sure enough, within 2 months, this position opened up. A dream job for me. You, Michael, just used the phrase, a perfect fit. I've heard that so many times in the last month. Carol has said the same thing as well. So, yeah, I just want to make sure I am the perfect fit and get this organization in the limelight.
It's definitely you.
Thank you.
I mean, it's you.
Not who I am. It's what I do. It's who I am, not what I do.
And I love how you talked about Colleen. You went to her, and she clearly understood the fact that you aren't as fulfilled, perhaps, as you would like to be. And we all have X amount of time left on the planet. So, because
right.
That's exactly the conversation, almost word for word, that
with Barbara.
I had with Barbara.
Absolutely.
Yeah. About I gave the station I was at 4.5 months' notice because it takes a while to get just the right fit usually. And I said, you know, I just want to do some other things. I'm going to hit the reset button on my life. And I don't know what's going to happen really any more than you did.
No.
And so one thing led to another and eventually led me to Carol.
Truly a leap of faith.
Yeah.
And once
exactly.
in a life, you know, it's like Indiana Jones.
Right.
The man has a leap of faith. You put your foot out there.
But you have to believe in yourself. Otherwise, you'll never do anything like that.
Especially given our advanced years, if you will, Michael.
Advanced?
Excuse me.
How lucky am I in the presence of the two of you that gave your notice and didn't know what you were doing, and you're sitting with me?
I have to go start buying lottery tickets. I'm not joking, because not only did I just, you know, get this job. The New Hampshire Humanities Council, if you didn't know, is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. A great Concord-based organization that promotes the humanities and liberal arts.
Yeah, you MC their event usually every year.
I've been there, and you know, obviously I'm a member, but they decided that to mark their 40th anniversary, they selected a 40 over 40 class of people
who
they believe have advanced the culture of New Hampshire. And it was just in the New Hampshire Sunday News this weekend that I am one of the 40. Who have been
well, you better be.
Chosen. No.
Otherwise, there's going to be a
problem. That's a given.
When
I
you see
think.
My classmates in this organization, it's remarkable. They have a big event planned for June 16 in Concord, again, to commemorate that 40th anniversary. But the 40, I'm going to tick some people off if I don't mention names, but among the 40, Ken Burns.
Oh, geez.
Dan Brown. I was once New Hampshire Magazine's favorite local author, and then he wrote this book you may have heard of called The Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
Dan Brown is among them. Justice David Souter, Dayton Duncan. It's remarkable to be included. Laura Kanoy from New Hampshire Public Radio.
That's fabulous. Congratulations.
Yeah, so I'm
That's
one of
nice.
The 40 over 40. I can't tell people I'm 39 anymore.
No.
But I guess that's a small concession to accept an award of this incredible prestige.
Well, let me know if they're ever going to do one sexy over 60, because I'd like to throw my hat in the ring.
So I don't have enough gym memberships to qualify for that anymore.
Remember, you're in radio.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Thanks for the reminder.
All for good reason.
And you're a grandfather now. I mean, you have been for, I think, a couple of years,
right? 3 years. My grandson Cameron just turned 3, and my granddaughter Vivian will turn 1 year old on June 13th.
Vivian, that's so pretty.
She
I
was
love
born
it.
On Friday the 13th. It was her parents' 5th anniversary in New York, and it was that super moon that we're not going to see again for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she came home on Father's Day. So this little girl has got timing. She's probably going to be a dancer, but she hit all those right notes, and she'll be a year old in about a month.
Well, I wanted to bring all this stuff up because for those that maybe just don't follow, you know, what you're doing once you left the union leader, it's good to let folks know that life has gone on. And the only thing I will give you my condolences on that you're not on your boat right now.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. It never comes to mind. For those of you who don't know, I left the union leader in 2008, and without people knowing, I'd continued to write on a freelance basis for 3 years, but my wife and I took off on a boat and went all the way down the Eastern Seaboard. We wintered in the Keys. We crossed to the Bahamas. So it was one of those things you always say you want to do, but you never get around to doing it. And when you do, you're too old to enjoy it.
Right. And you guys did.
We preemptively did it, and the notion was we'd do it for 3 years. At the end of 3 years, it was time to come back and get a job because the money was freelancing, as you found out, is not a lucrative way to make a living, no matter how talented you are. So, yeah, so we had that adventure, and we're back on dry land. We don't have a boat any longer, and, yeah, we miss it.
You don't have a boat at all?
We sold it.
Just so you're not tempted again.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
That was part of it, because otherwise, you know, some bad Friday afternoon, you might just head up to Portland and just keep going. Don't be England's on the other side of this pond here.
All so. Right, so you, how did you stay married? I mean, three years with somebody in very confined spaces.
Yeah.
How did you make? I mean, Colleen's a wonderful woman. I don't know her well, but I have met her.
She's a fabulous cook, which helps.
Yes.
I was the chief morale officer on the boat, and I think you all that's a glorified term for a bartender.
Yeah.
There's a reason those British sailors waited for their grog so patiently every day, and that's how you kept order on board ship. And I had the key to the cabinet, so nobody messed with me.
Yes, and Colleen's sister Peach has probably provided you with some great cocktail recipes.
And stories. Yes, we have the cotton book on the boat when we were traveling, so we had that. Yeah. So, yeah, we took full advantage of all family members. So,
what fun,
Yeah, it's you said reinvent yourself every so often. I don't what's the statute of limitations? How many times can you do that? But it's right. It just hit the reset button and do something else you want to do. So regardless of what I'm being paid, you cannot take away the joy I have in this job, my column at the Union Leader. And if you don't love what you do, it's work.
Will you be doing any writing? You've done, what, seven books?
Seven books, yes.
Seven books. And I mean, there's got to be room in your life to do more, and there's got to be stories in your head that need to be told.
There are. One of the greatest haunts in my life at the moment is my good friend Carol Robidoux, who used to work with me at the Union Leader.
Yes.
Carol has a fabulous Facebook page called Manchester Inc. Link and Manchester Happenings Now, and she would like very much for me to do a weekly item for her, and I'm considering it. I'm just trying to shake out my new job and find out if I have the time to do that. I don't want to commit if I can't do it and do it well, but I've already done a Manchester trivia quiz with Carol in mind. You know, we're coming near the end of the semester here, boys and girls. You know, we still live on a school calendar, even if you're not in school. It's time for finals. So I may run a couple of those by her and see if she'll publish them. So, again, it's Manchester Inc. Link if you're on Facebook.
Oh, I'm very well aware. I actually just met with her, and I'll be doing a podcast for her.
There you go.
On a regular basis. So having to do with reinventing yourself.
Is it going
to
be the AARP network if you and I both
it's getting there, man. Yeah, we just brought the average age up of the employees there.
And we got the technology in hand. I mean, somehow you and I have both managed to stay abreast of this rapidly changing technology, so we might as well take advantage of that.
Yeah, Carol really has put together a fabulous news, electronic news service that has gotten, she told me, 500,000 hits since July.
Over 60,000 regular subscribers.
Yeah, that's impressive, but it also pays tribute to the fact that she's really good and knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
She picked us.
More credit. Yes. Brilliance and taste in one package.
Super getting mad. Deep in here.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry, Carol.
Are you still here, Carol?
I am still here. And I'm sorry, but we need to take a break.
Okay.
And you are listening to The Pulse. We are in studio with John Clayton, the executive director of the Historic Association. And when we come back, I believe we're going to talk about some Manchester restaurant history.
The history of food.
Oh, I can't wait.
The history of food in Manchester. Okay.
Oh, really?
All right. Stay tuned. Food for Thought. I'll be right back.
for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Food for Thought on The Pulse, WTPL 107.7. Kara Lawrence and me, Mike Morin. And we want to let you know we're brought to you by Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford and Londonderry, integrityfit.com, and Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought, and Kale and Company. Kale and Company on at 2 o'clock. And our guest is John Clayton, who is starting next month, going to be a once-a-month regular frequent flyer with Ken Kale on Kale and Company. John is executive director of the Manchester Historic Association, essentially, even though he didn't know it at the time, a dream come true and something that you essentially worked your entire life for. And who knew that this would be a great way to take everything you've done and roll it into one great thing for the community?
When I started doing my column in the Union Leader, Joe McQuaid said, would you do this column about Manchester? And I said, I'll do it on one condition. He said, what? I said, no conditions. I want to write what I want to write about in my own way. Leave me alone. And he foolishly said, okay, and I did. And in doing that, I knew that one thing that would guarantee readership for me was if I wrote about shared experiences, things that we've all done growing up in Manchester together, because that people could identify with that. So my first column was a Nobody Asked Me But. You grew up in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you can remember standing outside the State Theater in the snow waiting to get into a movie on the Saturday afternoon, trotting under the lights at Gill Stadium for the first time on a night game. And in doing that, you know, people started gravitating to it. So, again, I shamelessly started writing about the history of the city because, again, having grown up here, what most of my peers wanted out of Manchester in the 70s was themselves. There right. was really a bad vibe around Manchester. And, you know, it was calling it Manch Vegas was a joke. I mean, because it was really criticizing the lack of activity and opportunity. So I reject that. I mean, I always celebrate the history of the city. And I think by reminding people about the people who made this the incredible place it was and is now, you know, you build a sense of community. And I really took advantage of that shamelessly to get people to read my column. So
now, is that when you, your love of the history of Manchester began, or was it before that?
And that's when I was finally able to give voice to it. Before I was a columnist, you know, I would write columns about, you know, elements of history would have taken place, but this was the forum that you dream of.
Right.
Because I'm on the front page of the paper and I'm being asked to write about Manchester beginning in 1991, which was, again, one of the low ebbs in the history of the city. That was the year the five major banks failed. That was the year the advertising market collapsed and the real estate market collapsed. And it may not have been as bad as 2008, but 1991 was a real nadir here in the city. So I felt it my obligation not to be a cheerleader for the city, but to remind people about what was so good about this place. When it's at your lowest ebb, opportunity's never better than that moment. So I jumped on the bandwagon, I grabbed my own pom-poms, and I became an unofficial cheerleader for the city. And a good way for me to do that was to shine a light on this history to make people realize we've gone through tough times before. 1935, Amoskeg declared bankruptcy. On Christmas Eve, no less. They're trying to resurrect the company. The spring of 1936, the Great Flood comes through, and the mill buildings were filled to the second floor with mud and silt, which made it that much more difficult for us to come back. But the people of Manchester, that's where I think the interesting history starts. We showed our grit and our resilience. Instead of letting those mill buildings be bought by out-of-state interests, local people raised $50 million in 1936 dollars.
Wow.
And were able to buy up those mill buildings, diversify the industry. And we show in our Mill Yard Museum a March of Time newsreel about Manchester resurrecting itself. It's called The City That Wouldn't Die. And I think that says more about this place than anything else we've ever done. So we are a resilient people, and I get to celebrate that resiliency and that spirit and that energy.
Let's celebrate food a little bit, part of the premise we had you visit today, because the food world hasn't been ever better than it is right now in terms of variety and choice. So how about taking us back maybe several eons to where it all began on the west side?
There have been people living on the bluffs above the Amoskeg Dam. It used to be the Amoskeg Falls for over 11,000 years. And why? I tell people that's why we're here. That's why Manchester exists, because of the Merrimack River and in particular the Amoskeg Falls. The Native American people would gather at the base of the falls after the salmon and the shad and the alewives would try to swim up the falls to go back to spawn. They would simply wait patiently at the bottom of the falls, and when the fish exhausted themselves, they would take weirs and nets and scoop them out and put them in, and they had a food source that was simple, economical, safe, and the river was also water, was also transportation. So that's why it all started. But when the white Scotch-Irish settlers came here, they copied the Native Americans and did the same kind of procedures. But one byproduct that the Native Americans never really enjoyed were the lamprey eels that used to feed off the salmon and the shad and the alewives. Essentially, they were boneless. And so the harvest was so great at Amiskeag Falls, the settlers would harvest the eels, salt them, and pack them for the year. And they were so plentiful that they referred to them as Derryfield beef.
Carol is wincing over
and,
there.
And as well you should, because I'm going to give you a couple of details.
They're nasty. Lampreys are nasty.
Yeah, they would literally latch onto the side of another fish, and they would suck the life out of them and move on to the next one. But again, if you consider their boneless structure, a former mayor of Manchester named Hughes, Hughes Road off Mammoth Road is named in his honor, actually kept a diary about food in Manchester. And at one point he said... the alewives were very bony, so they didn't like those. But the eels, on the other hand, had no bones. The nearest appearance to that being a strip of cartilage in place of a backbone. They're black and of a decidedly snaky appearance. The flesh is almost as dark as the skin of a and a peculiar flavor one must learn to like. But when one has learned, he acquires a strong liking for them. Eels, a favorite food in those days, were called in the neighboring towns Derryfield beef.
That's funny.
Manchester's food export product. And we're not talking sushi quarried eels here. We're talking Merrimack River. When the river was clean, understandably. But I just felt that was one of those food anecdotes that you would both appreciate and wince at the same time.
Yes and yes.
Nothing is still not improper at occasions. But I think a thing that most of us who grew up in Manchester may have forgotten, because it occurred of a certain age, you know, the late 1930s in the midst of the Depression, Habitant Soup was based in Manchester's Mill Yard. In particular, the favorite around here was the Habitant French Canadian style pea soup. On my side of the river, we called it pois de purée. Habitant set up shop in the Mill Yard by mistake. They were actually coming down from Quebec and they were looking for a place in Concord. But for some reason, they came to Manchester, saw the Mill Yard. Mayor Arthur Moreau was anxious to bring, again, diversified industry into the Mill Yard. So Habitant Soup set up shop here in Manchester. And for 45 years, that was the source of all the Habitant Soup that was sold around the world. They used this very special kind of yellow pea as opposed to green pea soup. We've all seen The Exorcist. We all have our own vision of that. But in this case, it was yellow pea soup. They were harvested in Vancouver and the Washington State area. So it was a very particular blend. And if you remember, Habitant Soup actually created a jingle because their soup was whole soup. Unlike Campbell's, it wasn't condensed or concentrated. Mm-hmm. You did not add water to Habitant Soup. They even took a jingle from My Fair Lady. You mustn't ever put water in a Habitant soup. Oh. If you remember the Rex Harrison, slow talk singing version, and that was all based here in Manchester.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, a gentleman named Gilles Morin, who passed away about 5 years ago, was the legacy owner of it. His dad and a couple of friends had started in the early 1940s, but they were making 80,000 cans of soup a day in Manchester in the Mill Yard. Now, most people think cotton textiles, they think locomotives or fire engines, but Habitant Soup was one of the big employers and a great...
It's still a brand that's available, correct?
It is.
I think I've seen it in the stores.
Yeah, I have. Mm-hmm.
The irony of it being that they were eventually purchased by Campbell.
Yeah.
Which was their prime competitor. Way. Yeah. They outlasted them, I guess you could say. But that's a little element of food. Next time you go in the grocery store, look for the Habitant French Canadian style pea soup. And everybody had a way to doctor up soup. If I open a can of Progresso, I throw in more chicken. I throw in, already cooked vegetables. In Manchester, you would take a ham bone. Your Sunday ham bone, because that most pea soup would do that, just to get the essence out of the bone.
Yes.
I remember my mom cheating and making Habitant pea soup, but put a ham bone in. So everybody.
That's great.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And all you hot dog lovers out there need to know that Scanlon's hot dogs, which was the premier hot dog in New Hampshire and Manchester for 100 years, began on the west side of Manchester. It wasn't in the Mill Yard, but it was a gentleman named William Scanlon who was his own little butcher shop in Granite Square, and he would make sausages and verst, if you will. He was part of a thriving Germanic community that was on Manchester's west side. Most people think, monolithic French Canadian, but in fact, we had a very vibrant Belgian and Germanic community. They had two newspapers in the German language. They had the Turn Verein, which was a social club that was a hub for all of their activities. And Bill Scanlon started making hot dogs. And for 75 years, over on Blaine Street off 2nd Street, that was the headquarters of Scanlon's Hot Dogs. And it was just a tremendous family-run business. And as a kid, when we went to the store, there was another local version, Weigler's Hot Dogs, another German guy who lived here in Manchester. But we were a Scanlan's family, and your family would fall into very distinct line, camps. Right. Are you a Weigler's Hot Dog guy, or are you a Scanlan's
Hot Dog guy? So they call it team. Team Scanlan or team
Exactly. And you know, there was a great rivalry amongst the companies. But if you realize the lengths they went to have the best possible hot dogs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can list some of the ingredients here. And this is made in Manchester.
There's no dairy field beef in there.
There's not.
There?
No. Okay. And Herb Langer, whose family owns a Langer Mill in the Mill Yard, was a general manager of the plant. Mm-hmm. And they went to incredible quality control lengths. The delicate blend of spices, including ginger from Jamaica, paprika from Spain, cardamom from France, and sage from Dalmatia.
Wow. So, an international recipe.
Right here. Manchester's food history.
Now, see, and we need to have him on a regular basis.
Well, see, he already lives here. You know, he's got a job. They don't even know if he's coming to work today.
I know.
How many radio shows you doing today, Clayton?
Hey, I can't reach as many people in my office in the Mill Yard Museum at 200 Bedford Street, by the way.
Yes. Okay, 200 Bedford Street. Yep. And what are the hours?
Let me see. 10 to 4, Tuesday through Saturday. Our website is www.manchesterhistoric.org. Check it out.
Very good. John, I'll have a link on Food for Thought NH.
John Clayton, the executive director. Next time we have to come back and talk about the McDonald's, which probably you had in your list there, right?
I do, and it's a great story.
I know it is.
We have to have you back. All right. Listening to Food for Thought, stay tuned. We'll be right back.